And welcome to Bandwagon.
Say it right.
What? Say what right?
I was scared you were about to say Soundwave.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Soundwagon.
What happened to your Gilbert Gottfried?
Hello. And welcome to Bandwagon. Is that better?
Music Meat Wagon's here.
Oh, my eternal shame. Yeah, I will always be haunted by the fact that in our discussion of what to call this show, I came up with Music Meat Wagon.
To which I replied. What did I reply?
You replied with Bandwagon. This show could have easily been called Music Meat Wagon.
It couldn't have been. But that's what Brandon suggested. And I was like, hey,
I'm not good with things.
Let's not go with that. But how about Bandwagon?
How about literally anything else?
Let's go with Eric's dick for the show name.
That would have been a great
instead
name.
Of that, let's
subscribe.
That's my way of introducing
like,
Eric to the show.
Hi.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Why not? Why not introduce yourselves? Hello and welcome to Music Meat Wagon. I am your host, Brandon. Joined as always by my ever lovely mustachioed co-host, Rick.
That's me, Rick. You can also call me Dick.
I probably won't. Okay. And the Eric.
Hi.
How do you feel about having the in front
he's
of your
just
name?
The, I think that's pretty cool. He's like a Batman.
He's the electronic version of me. We've decided that.
E-Rick. I get it.
E-Rick.
I see what you did there.
I didn't do it. I think Casey brought that one up.
Oh.
Or Carlos.
Well, I don't want to give him credit when he's not on the podcast.
Casey,
hey, remember when we used to say that those two were dead all the time?
Where is Casey? Oh, Casey reunited with someone.
That fell apart really quickly.
No, because I thought I was going to say that he reunited with... now I'm
a chick?
Fucking blanking out. No, the guy, diabetes guy.
Wilford Brimley?
Yeah, that but then me. I remembered that was you.
Yeah.
And so then
Fat
I was like,
Fat Camp
well,
or something?
No, diabetes camp.
Yeah.
And then I was okay. Like,
No, Casey, yeah. as I understand, has abandoned all his duties and all of his responsibilities and is now hopping train cars in
yes, he has relinquished his presidency to Carlos, who then went and hid... because he doesn't want to be president.
Good
now
deal.
Dodger's president.
Dodger should be president.
All right, doggy for president. Much president.
Very wow. Much election.
So we're not...
Very democracy.
We're not talking about music yet.
No.
Can I tell my story?
Rick has a... What?
I have a story.
Rick has a story.
It.
Okay, Rick has a story.
I have to tell this story.
Okay.
Because this happened to me today. Okay.
Pause.
So
that's a teaser for later. We're coming back to it.
Shit.
I'm just gonna jump real quick through the recent releases. That's
literally shit.
The recently. See what I did there is we teased that you have a story and we're gonna come
story.
Back to it.
You guys gotta keep listening.
And now you know it's a story about
crazy.
Turds. Good
Much
deal.
Much tease.
No, oh, it's so fucking bad, dude.
Very promo. Okay. So
wow.
Let's see here. We have a new album by The Fray came out for the 11 people who are still fans. I don't know. Actually, I guess they're not terrible. They have a new album called Helios. Let's see. I'll pull up something. Oh, no. iTunes help. I don't need that. Stop it.
That's what happens when you use iTunes.
No, I think that's what happens when you press F1. Let's see. We got The Fray. The album is Helios. It's coming out on the 25th here, which is tomorrow. Hey. Okay, there we go. It's called Love Don't Die.
Tomorrow? Oh, yeah.
Are all these songs about helium?
That's my understanding.
Actually, it's about Fallout New Vegas' Helios 1 station, where you have to...
It's a very specific
I bet you're right.
Album.
I bet you're right about that.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I can get behind that.
It's a concept album? Nice.
No.
The Fray wrote a concept album from Fallout.
About Fallout.
Fallout New Vegas.
Sure, why not?
Glad to hear it.
You heard it here first. We also have a new album
Tell
by Beck.
Internet.
Do people still care about Beck?
I don't.
Canadians do.
Okay. That's true.
Well, I don't know if we have
they
any
They only
Canadian
have a couple
fans.
Bands from there. So.
That's Justin
like saying,
Bieber.
That's like saying the Crash Test.
Yeah, but they also have the Bare Naked Ladies. So that is
yeah.
a big one to their credit.
Let's see here.
So thanks, Canada. Because
Beck
for
has
real,
a new album.
Thank you, because that was a good band.
Beck has a new album called Morning Phase coming out. Let's see. Here's a... Okay. The internet's moving slow here today. Morning Phase is the album that comes out tomorrow. Accessing iTunes Store, I'm going to play the song Blue Moon off of it.
Blue Moon.
I like Blue Moon.
Okay.
Sounds like everything else Beck has done.
Yeah, I'm just for comparison's sake, I'm going to try Waking Light, which is right next to it.
Are you sure you didn't just skip ahead?
It really sounds like the same song to me. I guess I don't know. And I mean, I don't want to talk down on Beck because he is a talented songwriter. As far as I've heard, I haven't experienced it personally. But
I haven't listened to a lot of his stuff.
I can't really say one way or another.
I judge without listening.
There is a band called Viridia releasing a new album called Inseparable EP.
I don't know what that is.
I had never heard of them before, and the reason that I'm bringing them up is because I was interested in the song. I'm going to play a song called We Are the Brave. We talked about female vocalists in like rock music a week or so ago. I think this pulls it off.
Let me listen. I think she does fine.
Yeah. You know what it sounds like to me?
It sounds like all the other bands that they play on the radio.
What does it sound like to you, Brendan?
It sounds a little to me like John Cooper's wife.
Skillet. Good.
It sounds like his wife started her own band, even though I know that she didn't do that.
Okay. Yeah, I can agree with you on that. I
have no problem with her vocals.
I was trying to will you with my eyes not to say Haley Williams from Paramore.
Oh, no. She sounds nothing like her.
No, I know, because every fucking rock band with a female lead gets compared to that.
Yeah.
It's like, you're wrong.
It's not like she was the
Internet.
First one to do it.
That's not right. That's not what they sound like.
She certainly did popularize female vocals in more punk alternative music.
She has a good voice, but don't compare every female vocalist to her.
No, no. Rock. That's not fair to all of the other vocalists. There's also a band, I don't think you'll care for this, Eric, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Chris Carrabba, the vocalist from...
That's familiar to me.
From Further Seems Forever, and also the guy who's behind Dashboard Confessional. He started a new side project band that kind of took off called Twin Forks. And they released an EP a while back, and now they have their first full-length album dropping tomorrow, and it is called Twin Forks. Looks like LP. I'm going to play a song called Back to You. Some of these songs are also available on the EP, which, by the way, that's something I don't like. When your EP is just songs that end up also on the LP.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's dumb. When your extended play is the same, like, is just basically half of your limited play, or your long play. That's dumb.
Yeah, so, maybe put one on. That's fine.
Yeah, or acoustic versions of those songs.
Yeah.
Something different.
Yeah. This is Back to You.
I like the galloping little thing in the back, whatever that is.
It's very folksy. I like folksy. I really like Chris Carrabba's voice. Was that last week we talked about Further Seems Forever for a while? I think I talked about him last week.
Might have been last week.
Penny Black, the album. And his vocals on that, how they really sold the album for me.
Yeah.
I will listen to this because he's involved.
I like it.
It kind of feels
Sounds
a little
fine.
Bit like if Mumford & Sons ran headlong into a Dashboard Confessional concert and they're just like, well, I guess we'll make the best of it and record it in an album. I'll also play Cross My Mind just for a reference. Or no, actually, Can't Be Broken is more popular, I guess. But so we got consistency there. Yeah, I'll buy it.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
I won't say it's gay.
That's a high compliment.
That is,
it doesn't sound like everything else on the radio. It sounds like a lot of things on the radio, but just enough so that it's still interesting. So that's what I see coming up as of tomorrow, at least stuff that I'm interested in. If you have other albums that you thought I should have mentioned, send them to us in the feedback, and we'll look them over, and we'll see if they were of any importance, and we'll talk about them next week. I miss things sometimes. I'm not all-encompassing. I can only look over Metacritic and iTunes and Wikipedia looking for what albums are coming out and decide to sample the songs so many times before they just start to blend together, which is kind of a statement on music on the whole.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I sample something that we didn't get to sample last week?
Yes.
I'm going to sample Bayside.
Oh, well, this is, I guess we can move into what you're listening to. So if you've listened to Bayside, you could play Bayside.
Okay. Well, what I've been listening to is Bayside's new album, Cult.
We it came out last week,
it.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It came out the day after our episode aired.
Yeah.
And this is stuttering from that. I like it.
That was weird.
Short sample.
That was really short. Hey, let's play Transitive Property. That's another one from it.
I really like the music.
Yeah. I really like his voice.
His voice is way better now than it used to be. I have a hard time listening through any album before Shudder.
Yeah. I know you feel that way.
Yeah, I know.
I like all Bayside, but yeah, it's this. I like this album. I was talking in the car earlier about how I don't think this album quite lives up to Killing Time, last release.
Their previous album? That's a good album, yeah. Actually.
It's really good, but I still really like Cult, this new album. It's still really good.
I'm glad you like it. I'm sorry that it's not everything you hoped and more.
Well, it's just shy of what I was hoping.
Sure.
I was just hoping it would continue their upward trajectory, but it's hard on the sixth album.
I get that.
It's still really good. And it's still something I'll be listening to for a long time.
Sure.
But it, alas, was not quite as good as their last one.
Eric, what you been listening to?
Man, I've been on a little bit of a heavy metal kick.
All right.
Well done.
Children of Bodom was something that I was rocking to the other day. Me and the dog were slam dancing. We were having a good time. He's trying to bite me.
Are you sampling it? Are you doing it?
Yeah, I'll
do it. Needled 24/7 is a pretty kick-ass fucking
song. He's
going
to do it.
Do it.
Needled 24.
Do it.
7. Nope. Nothing.
What?
What album is it on?
Oh, I don't remember the name of it. It's got like a danger sign on the front of it or something.
I found it. Needled. I was needled.
Yeah, needled.
All right, here we go.
Of course, they don't play the great part of it.
They never do. I've never listened to Children of Bodom before.
Bodom.
Bodom. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. That's how out of it I am.
Audacious.
Hi, Carlos.
Carlos has wandered into the studio.
Do you want to be in the podcast? What? We're doing Bandwagon right now.
not
no,
tonight.
He's not here.
Yeah.
Okay, bye, Carlos.
Bye, Carlos.
Carlos
he doesn't want to be in the podcast.
Carlos makes his first appearance on Bandwagon off of
We're recording
off
another episode later.
All right.
Maybe.
Bob, I'm sorry, we interrupted you, Eric. That was Needled 24/7. What album was that on?
The one with the stuff on
Hey Crew Death Roll.
Yes. There you go.
I had like a busy, like a
Who did that? And the one with the
Winter Warning or something.
It's got a warning sign on it.
And I'm doing the warning with the vocals there.
I believe that's like that's a Reaper.
Now,
I see.
Okay.
Seems
yes,
to be a theme
yes,
for them.
Looks like a lot of death on the covers. Or
yes.
Very interesting art style on their covers there. Because I've never listened to them, I'm going to sample Are You Dead Yet, which is apparently their most popular album, most popular song. I feel his anger.
Fucking gay.
Of Bodom.
I wanted to get you back.
No, you did.
I don't think it's gay, but I just want to say it.
It sounds like every other metal band.
It kind of does. That one does. Anyway.
That song, at least.
They're quite a bit older than most of them, though.
Yeah, they're well. They're
they started it. Well, let's see. See now, being that I run the show, I know what's coming. I should have like a sense of preparation, right?
Yeah. Did
preparation
you not?
H.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, actually, I actually have been. I know what I've been listening to. I've been listening to things, so I actually have something to say, and that something is...
So you are prepared, but you wanted to say weren't.
I wasn't very prepared. I don't have much beyond... I've been listening
You're
to
passively
Switchfoot's
prepared.
New album. Yeah, basically.
Not actively.
Very impassively. I've been listening to Switchfoot's new album, Fading
but
West.
Were you listening to Switchfoot's album last week, too?
No, I was listening for Further Seems Forever. When I say these things... I don't come up with it last minute. I really do listen. I'm like, okay, this is the album I'm going to listen to for a little bit this week. I want to talk about it. I listened through Fading West, their new album. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's definitely a better fit for them than the alt rock vibe, which they've been pulling since I don't know, early 2000s. That song "Meant to Live" is probably their most popular song, either "Meant to Live" or "Dare You to Move."
Dare you to move.
I think
I like that rendition.
We'll let John Foreman sing it, Eric. Yeah, there it is. There. That I'm not. That's yeah. Everyone has heard that song. Everyone and their brother has heard that song. And "Meant to Live" is their second most popular song. Well, thanks to the popularity of those songs, it's really set them off on the alt pop, like the alt rock pop feel for
pop rock.
Yeah, basically, it set them on that course forever. They are only just now kind of hopping off that train, as far as I can tell. They were pop rock for a long time, and then they focused a little more on the alternative, and now they've seemed to have stepped kind of more into alt pop. Let's see. I'll play "Who We Are" just for reference. Hey, I don't know what you guys are doing, but stop.
We're making paper tornadoes with our feet.
It's like you're making smoke origami.
We had some shit going on here. It's not going to transfer well to audio.
No, not at all. That's why I was telling you guys to knock it off.
I guess we could have turned the webcam on and twitched it, but...
Switching west, fading west. Honestly, it feels that was a little weird. Tongue, you stay in my mouth and you say what I want you to say. The whole album actually kind of feels like they've just decided to embrace a more mellow feel, where they're slipping towards.
They're getting older.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've heard John Foreman working on some bluegrass stuff before. Like he worked with the guy from, I can't remember. He was in a band called Fiction Family. I'll pull it up. He was in a band called Fiction Family. I don't know if they're still working on music or not, but it was a little more, not mellow, but it was very different in the genre. Oh, here we go. Up Again. Sure, we'll play that. Fiction Family Reunion. I don't know what that means. We'll play it. This is most of what Fiction Family sounds like. On the mellow.
More like Fiction Fagley.
Wow. Am I right?
This is when she's near.
Like how you said, am I right to what I said?
Is he right? It's going to drive me crazy trying to remember.
You should just play clips until you find it.
No, I give up. It kind of sounds now, though, like that's more on the mellow end of what John Foreman has done. So I would have been, I'm not surprised to hear him working on more mellow stuff now with Switchfoot, but it sounds like Switchfoot's moving towards like Imagine Dragons kind of feel. Just a little more electronic vibe in their music, just enough where it's not so forced on things like, here, I'll go back to Switchfoot for reference. Their last
Hey, the clip was ready.
Their last album was called Vice Versus. I was not particularly impressed. I'll play a song called Selling the News here. It
doesn't sound like the same band at all.
No. We're selling the
news. Strange.
It's at least interesting, I guess, but it doesn't... When he tries to sing that style, it feels a lot whinier.
It sounds like they were hanging out with Coldplay, and then Coldplay was like, hey, you guys should do these songs that we have, and he was like, okay.
I'm also going to play a clip from The War Inside on the same album, Vice Versus. I don't know.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Not your thing? When he sings that style, it just feels a little whiny to me. I don't know what it is. And I know he's got kind of distinctive vocal style, but you have to find what your vocal style is set for.
He did much better with the Dare You to Move sappy, like, kind of...
embraced, like, the more alt, yeah. like the more poppy feel. And I think that's kind of what they've gone back for, back towards, because, like, okay, back on Fading West, the song Love Alone is Worth the Fight. It's the song that kicks off the album. It's the most popular song on the album. I'll just play a clip here. So close I can taste this. The fear that love alone erases. So I'm back to the basics. I figure it's time to face this.
I like that.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it feels like more like it's suited to his vocal style.
Yeah.
It's like they finally embraced the fact that, well, maybe we're more pop than rock. So they've decided to go towards that way. And that's actually a lot more acceptable now. For a long time, bands needed to have some sort of edge or something. But now you've got bands that are kind of popularizing the softer feel in their music. Yeah. So why not move that direction a little bit with your music, especially if it fits your style better, especially right. if it fits your vocal style better? Because you could still have songs like, okay, off the same album. It's called, I think it's supposed to be bass, but it's 55 instead of S's. B-A-5-5. More subdued, kind of minimalist, a little electronic vibe in there.
I got you.
Yeah. You could still have atmospheric, you can still have like a little bit of moody music, but don't make it your staple.
Kind of had like an industrial, like moody.
Just barely.
Like metal sound to the back. Not metal, like heavy metal. But
no,
like
a little, you know, industrial.
Metallic.
Sound.
Yeah, yeah,
it's metallic. I hear what you mean in there. But strip it down. Don't make it so busy. Don't try to outdo yourself on every track with more and more. It just kind of feels like, for a band that's been around for over a decade, as far as I know, I think probably closer to a decade and a half, if I can remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably wrong. It feels like they're just now hitting a stride where their next album could be their best, which is cool to me. So I've been listening through Fading West specifically, but I've been listening through some of their older music and just trying to feel out the vibe of what albums have led to this point. And I don't know, there's a string of very forgettable albums in there. Things that they weren't necessarily bad albums, but I wasn't that impressed with Hello Hurricane or Nothing Is Sound, really, even. Oh, Gravity was fine, I guess, but there's just all these albums where it's like, yep, they're okay, they're fine. Switchfoot's still a pretty popular household name when it comes to like that kind of pop rock, where it's not quite popular enough to be on the radio, but it's just popular enough to sell concert tickets.
New music your mom can listen to.
Still, yeah, that's what I, you know,
yeah.
They're still making their name off of their, you know, their two big hits.
So I don't think it's necessarily derivative where they're going the way of Imagine Dragons just to sell albums, but it feels like maybe this is what you should have been doing a long time ago. Because, I don't know, there isn't really a memorable song on... There isn't a strong, memorable song off their last two albums, as far as I'm concerned. There's the songs that every band tries to sell as their singles, the ones that get them out there for like that one song. That's the one we're going to put on the radio just to push the album.
And that's the only one that's worth the, you know, $14.99.
So why spend $10 on it, kind of thing?
Right.
I don't feel like there's a song. I mean, there's a couple songs where they're the singles of Fading West, but for the album itself, it's worth buying. It's actually an album worth the $10 or whatever, as far as I'm concerned. So, wow, that was a really long way for me to say what I've been listening to.
Yeah.
Good on me. Rick, you want to tell your story now?
I have a story.
I kind of want to hear a story about poop.
It's, yeah, well, got one of those. I got it loaded up for you here, buddy.
Since this is a music show, you have to sing the story.
I'm not singing the story, but there was music in the store.
Well, good enough for us.
No, I went to Menards after work.
What song was playing?
I don't know, some sort of Yummy. Soft rock.
Kenny G?
No, it wasn't quite that.
Not elevator music.
Enya?
No, it was, I don't know, it was soft rock.
Okay, Dave
something.
Matthews. So you're at,
I didn't listen to
that's
it.
Probably it.
Because I was flabbergasted.
Okay.
Because I saw this fella.
Bamboozled.
So I'm walking down an aisle, and I'm like, oh yeah, this isn't the aisle I need. I turn around, and I'm preparing.
Are you breathing in and out this whole time? One foot
in
front of the other?
I was doing that. I was preparing to depart the aisle.
Did you blink?
And... No.
Twice.
Not after what happened next happened.
Okay. Oh, man. This is intriguing.
No. I turn around, and there's this guy standing there, and he looks uncomfortable. He's probably 50s. He's a somewhat older, middle-aged guy. And he's standing there, looks uncomfortable. And he looked surprised that I was there.
What? Like, there's other people.
He looked
in the
like
store?
I was. I just walked into his living room.
My Menards.
And I was like, I just tried to ignore it and walk past him. And but he was just looking at me, so I stop and I look at him, and he like shakes his leg, and this brown thing comes out. It was a nugget of shit. This guy kicked a nugget of shit out of his pant leg. He looks at the shit as I do, looks up at me, gives me a shrug, and he just walked away. He just fucking left. And I was like, I was just blown away. I was standing there like, what in the fuck is going on here? This dude just shit in the store. And he kicked it out of his leg.
That's how
and
surprised he
left.
Was to see you.
He just left. He was surprised because I interrupted his shit in his pants. He was shitting his pants in the store. And he didn't look
hello. Come share this moment with me.
He didn't look deranged or like he had Alzheimer's or something.
Was he a mongoloid maybe?
I don't know what that is, but he might have been.
It's an artard.
No. He looked like a totally normal dude. He was wearing slacks and like a nice shirt, and he just left. And I was like, I was so surprised. I couldn't even say anything. But in my head, I'm like,
hey man,
you don't just leave your shit in the floor in this store, man. So, you can't shit in a store and just leave it and walk away.
Apparently you can.
And he straight up did. And no, so I'm in the store and I'm like, I gotta tell someone. Somebody has to know.
Hey
man, there's crap on your floor.
Shit. So I found this guy in the next aisle who was stocking stuff. I'm like, hey, I just saw this older guy poop on the floor. and I realized as I was saying it that I
he's
can't
gonna
just,
think it's you.
I realized as I was saying it, I can't just tell him this. He's just gonna look at me like I'm crazy, and he did. And he's like, "They're what?" And I'm like, "This guy. I was standing there, and he kicked poop out of his pant leg.
The poopy bandit and, strikes again."
And the guy's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "I mean exactly what I said. Come here." And I brought this guy over. I'm like, "There's the poop. This fella pooped on the floor." And the guy looks at it, and he's like, "Oh. That's gross."
Yes, it is, sir.
I didn't realize until after I left the store that I pulled the exact same move as the guy who shit. I shrugged and left.
Well, like, you brought it to someone's attention.
I alerted him, but there was nothing else I could do.
Yeah, what were you supposed to do? I mean, you're not.
Well, you did fine. You did more than I would have done.
Instagram. To me, like I felt like
a picture of the poop.
I felt like I was a part of this thing, and like as soon as I told him, I realized like, huh, that's it. That's it for me. I'm done.
That you were part of an experience there,
and I was like, well. There it is. That's yours now.
And to tie it all together, I'm going to play
He shit in the store.
I'm going to play a clip of Nugget right in a Biscuit, because those are both poop euphemisms by Toby Turner.
This guy shit his pants in the store.
There. I tied it together.
Fucking guy did it.
I brought it back. I brought it back to music.
I mean, was it like just a little, like tiny?
It was a nugget. Yeah,
just a nugget.
It was a nugget. It wasn't a full shit. It was a pinch off nugget.
Do you think he had like more shit in his drawers?
I don't know. I feel like what happened was when I turned towards him and he realized I was there, he like pinched it off, and I just like I saw the pinch off.
It's just disgusting.
That's one of the worst. That's a bad human being right there.
Like,
I mean, dude, any adult knows like if your duodenum is tingling and you have to take a shit, go to the toilet.
There's a bathroom in the store.
Yeah. I'm glad that you used duodenum in a sentence.
Thank you.
That's cool.
I know anatomy.
There's a fucking bathroom. He shit on the floor, shook it out of his pant leg, and walked away like a fucking animal.
Was he looking at you, like, maintaining eye contact?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I stopped. He would have been fine if he didn't look at me. I would have walked right on by and been none the wiser. And he made eye contact. He was looking at me like, oh, you caught me. Like, that kind of look. And I was like, I didn't catch you at shit. What are you doing? And I made eye contact. I was like, I was about to be like, hey, do you need something? and he just like shook his leg.
You need some
and there was
like,
the shit.
Bro.
He shook his leg and there was shit. And I was, we just looked at each other.
You just had a moment where he crapped his pants and you watched him.
I couldn't believe it. And then he was just like, well, you saw it.
Did you see if he had a boner?
I didn't look that closely.
He's into it.
I don't know.
Are you into it?
I don't know what his fetish is. It was weird, but dude, it was.
Was he German?
I don't know what ethnicity he was. He looked like a regular dude.
Probably German.
He never said a word to me. He shit his pants, shook it out, and left while making eye contact with me. It happened today.
The aisle 5 crapper has struck again.
And that poor dude, like, hey, someone pooped on your floor. What do you mean?
Someone pooped on your floor.
It happened.
There's not a lot else to this story.
He's like, someone yeah, crapped oh, yeah, on your floor. That's gross.
This story has been brought to you by Nugget and Biscuit by Toby Turner and Tobuscus.
It looked like a little dog poop.
We're off it now. We're done talking about the poop.
Just
this story has gone on way too long.
I have to analyze this off air.
This has been
damn.
Like 7 minutes we've been talking about a guy pooped his pants in front of me.
It warrants way more time than that.
No, we're done. We're done. We're off it.
It warrants a full
I'm
going to
start a whole show on this. I need to get into this guy's head and figure out what's happening.
The Menards privacy pants pooper.
I'm concerned he might have had a stroke or something.
You don't have a stroke and crap your pants and shake it out of your pant leg and leave.
There's got to be an explanation.
He had to poop, and he decided to poop there. That's all there is to that.
Look at dehumidifiers, and he shits his pants.
I mean, I was gonna say something like IBS, but if it's just like a little nugget, I mean, he couldn't control it if it was IBS. So that's got to be off
the table.
It
was a nugget. It was a pinch off.
I once sneezed so hard, I crapped a little. It can happen.
He didn't sneeze. I was there.
I'm just saying, it's happened. Where it's been like, oh, we're in an emergency situation now. Code red.
I like the
code brown.
He was looking at dehumidifiers and he's like, holy shit, that's the one I want. Oh,
and
no.
It's on sale.
poop.
Sir, there's poop in my pants. Can you help me? He was asking you for help with his eyes and you didn't answer.
His look was, I just got caught. You saw it. And I didn't. I wouldn't have known.
Okay. Rick, that sounds traumatizing.
We're done talking about shit. I had to tell the story, though. You understand that now.
I do. So, thank you for that.
Yes, thank
nugget,
you.
I couldn't believe it happened in front of me.
You were a
no
lucky,
one expects
lucky
it
guy.
To happen to them.
It's like a movie, man. It's
you had a movie moment with Dare You to Move was playing in the background.
I dare you to bell move.
Dare you to poop. It's there. It was waiting.
Tie it all together.
That's
the episode.
Seriously, I think I'm going to have to buy that song, Nugget and a Biscuit, now. Just one more time.
I witnessed the music video.
This is someone's work.
It sounds like something off of South Park. It sounds like their goofy singing voices that they do on South Park.
Toby Turner is an internet personality. He does gaming videos, music videos, like parody music videos, and animation. Like he sometimes combines like these goofy cartoons, like a cartoonized version.
Well,
of
he
himself.
Can use my story as the music video.
He's got a perfectly good music video for Nugget and Biscuit.
Nah, fuck it.
Salsa cookies, windmill cookies.
She sold me good hot chicken. So the title of this episode is Not So Special Delivery, and we're not going to have a super long conversation here, but just kind of briefly want to touch on what are your thoughts on digital... I think I had a stroke.
Nice. Did you poop?
A little.
I'm prepared for it now.
All right.
After today.
I just shake it out of my pant leg real quick.
I can handle another man's shit.
It's like you're desensitized by the second person who craps their
jiggle
pants.
It out. Kick
I'm
it out.
I'm shit jaded.
Do what you need to do. I'll tell Casey and leave him with it.
There you go. Shrug and walk away.
I'll blame it on Dodger.
If there's dog here. You can't blame it on dog when you're in a grocery store or a hardware store for that matter. Whatever. I don't care.
When you're in a Menards.
Menards. So not so special. But bad. What are your thoughts on digital distribution of music in comparison to physical? And kind of how do you feel about piracy in the music industry, which has come along as a result of it? I mean, there was piracy, I suppose, before, but it was like, it was like
it was guys on galleons going into the Caribbean Sea, stealing all of Madonna.
Didn't have a lot to do with music. Maybe they sang songs while they did it. Shanties, swashbuckling shanties.
Swashbuckle is a great word.
It really is.
I love it,
and I'm glad I could combine it with shanties. there was a contribution there. So just kind of digital distribution and how it's made music more widely distributable. And more immediately available.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that? Physical versus digital.
Well, I don't. I love digital because I can buy an album. I can pre-order a hard copy on Amazon,
and then get the digital
when it comes out, and have the like if it doesn't get there in time, which it usually does. But I love it. But I still get physical CDs of the ones that I really want.
Yeah.
Just because I was born in CDs and that's where it is. Like,
yeah, I still have them. This next generation is moving towards no physical media.
No, nobody's going to have CDs that grew up in the 2000s.
Yeah, it seems more and more like, well, a good sign of it is when I was in college and you go to Walmart and the music aisle was as big as the automotive aisle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like there's like three aisles filled with albums,
right.
And it was like a lot of independent releases. On, I mean, sure, you're going to find your Mariah Carey's and your Michael Jackson albums because they're selling what's popular,
you know?
Not that Mariah Carey and Michael Jackson were relevant when I was in college, but you know what I mean, where they're selling big names in the music industry, but they were also selling, I don't know, that was where I picked up my first Classic Crime album.
Yeah.
Good luck finding the Classic Crime at any store besides Best Buy at this point.
Even there, it's there.
Yeah, Best Buy's music albums
is huge too.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times like I used to go shopping in Eau Claire with my wife, and once we were done at like the Oakwood Mall or whatever, we'd go over and she'd go to TJ Maxx or something, and I'd go over to Best Buy and we'd just kill some time. And she'd be done before I was, and I was just pacing the music aisles, just looking at what came out.
Yeah, a quarter of the Best Buy store used to be like the
it was huge
section.
And that was awesome to me then, because it was like I used to buy music randomly, just like I just called it the gamble, where I would just this album has cool art, I guess. I was just kind of sold on the marketing of the album. I was like, I don't know. This looks like a wizard. I think I'll buy the album.
Yeah,
I used to do that like maybe once a month.
You could kind of gauge it because often if it was a band you've never heard of, they had like for fans of stickers on them, so you weren't getting something that was totally off base.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm trying to remember now. I have to pop over to Wikipedia to figure this out. But there was one time where I just randomly picked up an album. It's like, oh, this is. Got cool album art. It looks like it's probably in the relative genre, and it was like that I like listening to, and it was like $7. It's like, well, I guess this is mine now.
Yeah.
I bought it, listened to it, ended up really liking it, and then ended up finding later that their vocalist was their vocalist was actually pulled into a new band that I liked that was on Tooth and Nail Records called Secret and Whisper.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be called Stutterfly, I guess. Oh, that was a side note. Secret and Whisper used to be called Stutterfly. Oh, The Bleeding Alarm was the band that I found, where I was just like, oh, okay, I guess I own this album now. And I ended up really liking it, and then found out that their vocalist was pulled over into Secret and Whisper. And I never would have found that if it weren't for physical media.
Yeah. Well, that's how I found Showbread. I randomly picked up an album.
Oh, really?
Because it had a cool title.
Which one was it?
No, Sir... Nihilism Is Not Practical.
Oh, that's...
And I picked it up, and I was like, well, this looks cool, and it sounds funny. And I played it, and I was like, oh, this is cool.
That's how I got into System of a Down, which is a little...
Just picked up the album.
...hand thing on the album, and I was like, well, this looks like the shit. And then I got it, and I listened to it for, like, 2 months straight, and then...
It was the
they
shit.
...they started advertising it on Monday Night Raw, and they blew up. And I was like, this is the shit. Kombucha Mushroom People. I like it.
I feel like that is it's almost impossible for that to happen now with digital distribution, though, if you don't have any kind of physical media, because if you're just browsing it on iTunes or something, it all fades together. If you're looking at something physically, it's like, I don't know, at least for me, you can kind of like organize it like visually. Whereas if you're just looking at tile after tile after tile on a computer, it's so easy to skip past things that you might never have found Showbread. I never probably would have thought to listen to Secret and Whisper. Or you probably would have gotten to System of a Down at some point.
Some point. But no, I mean,
because they actually had some, they had some exposure.
Yeah, before they're, you know, they got real big on the
radio.
That's
an old album.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was 12.
On the same hand, I found a lot more bands clicking on YouTube through digital stuff.
Oh, that's true.
So
that's a different kind of exposure.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, it comes down to, I'm perfectly ready to embrace when physical media goes away. It's gonna happen.
I would have to disagree. It's not ever gonna go away, because I mean, vinyl record sales have gone through the roof in the past couple of years.
Well, that is true.
How long do you think before regular CDs are vintage and people are buying them?
It's going to happen.
You really think so?
They already are.
But
I guess I'm out of touch.
Oh yeah.
Even with vinyl sales, all the physical media, I think, is going to be out of stores eventually.
It's a specialized store, yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to be buying your vinyls online.
Yeah. Oh, well, you already do.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Stores really carry them unless it's...
You can find stores, but it's... Yeah. I think everything's going to be digitally... purchased, at least, and you'll get physical media that way, possibly. But
well, I mean, you got your vehicles like Amazon Music, iTunes. I don't know, is Zune Marketplace still a thing, or is it now
it's Xbox Marketplace?
Yeah, it's just Xbox Music or whatever. That makes sense to me. I guess I wouldn't use Xbox Music, but I get why people do.
It's pretty nifty.
I have loaded my music into it, and I still prefer iTunes to it just because I'm used to it. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to transition over because I don't have any Apple products anymore.
Right.
So that's a good feeling, by the way. I can't believe how good it feels to be Apple free. And that's a weird thing to say for me. I always had an iPod.
Constrictive. And as far as digital music goes, they're expensive.
I mean,
you buy like their songs used to be like they're all like seems like most of them now are like $1.49 when it used to be like 99 cents.
Yeah,
Amazon,
like, at least
it used to be like 69 cents. Or, yeah,
you that know, song that we played before, Nugget and a Biscuit. You want to buy that song? It's $1.29.
Yeah,
yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me. $1.29
is like their standard price point.
It used to be a buck.
Yeah, it used to be 99 cents. Yeah, pretty much.
And that to me, that seems like that's a good price
point.
Reasonable.
Because
then it's like you can wrap your head around. If you want to buy just the song, it's 99 cents. If you want to buy the album with, let's say, 10 songs, it's $9.99. It adds up.
Yeah. Right.
Or sometimes they'll even make it a better deal, which if you want to buy the whole album, it's a better deal.
$7.99 for the whole album, or buy songs independently.
Now it's like, do you want to buy the whole album? It's $9. You want to buy one song? It is like it's $1.30. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, I guess.
Well, I got a question for you guys. How do you think like to me? Album art was a huge deal. How do you think it's going to be affected? Because, I mean, I remember, you know, pulling, like with video games, when they used to come with instruction manuals, and you pull out the CD booklet, and, you know, they would have song lyrics and pictures of the band members and just goofy shit, you know? Like, are we going to get that anymore? Are we going to know what band members look like?
There's a lot of bands,
YouTube,
or there's a lot of albums now that don't even... They have the
single page.
Yeah, it's like you flip it open, and it's just got like it's got the information no one reads.
Yeah, like the legal information or whatever. Don't pirate this, jackass.
So the front cover is just the album art, and then like the flip side of it is just either a continuation of it or a picture of the band, and that's it.
Right.
And it used to be...
an adventure to look at.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm of the mindset that, I guess this is probably outdated at this point, but I bought all my albums, and I would download them and put them onto my computer.
Uh-huh.
That was my process.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm to the point where I don't purchase albums, but that's because I can never find them, and I don't feel like ordering them.
Yeah, and to me also
that feels like too much work somehow.
Also, to me, a lot of them aren't worth buying. Like, they might have one or two good songs on there, and the rest of the CD is crap. And it's like, well, I don't want to pay $14.99 for, you know, two songs that are good and 12 songs that suck. Yeah. I'm just going to steal your shit, make better music. You know, to me, it used to be a big deal to me because, you know, I think all artists, whatever industry you're in, movies, music, TV, video games, you should be compensated for your hard work. But it seems like a lot of these people they'll put a lot of effort into one or two radio songs, and the rest of the album is just crap.
Coast album. You know? Just everything else is filler.
Right. Yep.
And Yeah, that's how I felt about music for a long time, about a lot of the mainstream bands, where it's like, did you work on any song on this album besides like these three? Because everything else in your album is just kind of just run of the mill.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
and that seems
special.
That happens a lot. I mean, and it's, granted, you know, not every song on an album can be a stroke of genius.
No, well, of course not.
That's not going
to
happen.
They could at least be decent.
Yeah,
that's something that you want to listen to. Besides,
how many bands,
one song or two songs on there? You know.
Yeah. It's like I listened through songs number one and two. Now I have to wait for song number five, and then I'm just going to turn the album off.
Right.
I'm just going to turn off my radio or whatever you're listening to.
Sure.
It's like I guess I'm done now, because songs 6 through 10 might as well just be run-of-the-mill drivel. I don't know. I always used to get albums and read through the album art, and oftentimes I was to the point where I read the lyrics as I listened to the songs. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there were some albums that the album art is the thing that sold me.
Yep.
We talked about that. But even more than that, there were some times where reading through the album art, or just reading through the booklet or whatever, it was a weird kind of connection. Where it's like, now I will always remember, I think the band that did it best, or at least it sold me on looking through lyric books, was Emery's The Question.
Yeah.
The whole idea behind that album was kind of it wasn't fully a concept album, but at least in the names, the album name was The Question. Every song name was the second half of the same question. And if you open up the booklet, it actually opened like from the top. It was an envelope, or it was like a sealed letter, and it with like, and the seal was the band's like name. So you like flip it open, and then the whole thing was like this. The looks like the lyric book being passed from person to person, and the question was written at the top of the booklet, which was where were you when I was ... And then every song name was the second half of that question.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, it was really clever. And then furthermore, there were bands like Nine Lashes, who has attached to every song, like on World Be View. This is just a more recent one. This is a band I love, of course. But every song in their booklet, every song has like the connotation for what that song means to them. Mm-hmm. And there are even a couple songs that have like a story written with it. Something that you probably never would find unless you actually read the booklet.
Right.
Stories that you probably never would have experienced, or things that you would never have learned about that bad had you not invested a little bit of time in flipping open that booklet, which I really feel like, you're right, Eric, that's got to happen less and less. At this point, album art is just kind of turned into thumbnails.
Yeah, the digital picture of the band in front of a sunset or whatever.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
There's no really art to it anymore.
Yeah.
And as much as I like Fading West, the new Switchfoot album, that's what their cover is. It's just them in a van with some like Instagram filter effects.
Right. With Sepica or whatever it is.
Sepiatone.
Sepiatone, whatever.
But, and then I see like when you were talking about Showbread, I popped over to them. They've got albums released that I had no idea about. They completely fell off the radar for me.
Yeah.
They've released a new album as early as 2012, as far as I can tell. But like the album art for No Surd Nihilism is not practical, and I guess they have an album called Cancer. Looks a little 80s weird hair metal-y. But their album art, they all actually look designed. They look like somebody put a lot of time and effort in making those, like album. And then when you see the time and effort that goes into making the album art on a lot of bands, it's like, I want to make that worthwhile. I want to own that in hard copy,
right?
Because it feels like the fact that I own this is
a piece of art.
In addition to the thing that when you put it in and you listen to it or download it and listen to it, whatever, it's like a second part of the experience that a lot of people are going to miss going forward, because it's just a picture on their phone as they listen to the album.
Right.
And that's like with Showbread, they did a really cool thing with their album inserts with Anorexia and Nervosa.
Oh,
those two came out, and each the two albums came out together, and they were both stories of two sisters who went totally different ways. It's like
every song
not just
name
like
was
a
the
story
same.
About two sisters in like real life. It's like a sort of like a weird storytelling thing. But the pamphlets or the booklets that were included with the album were each side of the story, almost like a book with a soundtrack. And then the song lyrics would be in the story, and it was really cool.
It was really interesting.
You couldn't get it digital.
The songs wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And there was actually tracks in there where it's like, in the booklet itself, it would say, okay, this is where song three comes in. If you try reading ahead, it won't make sense. Or if you listen to it without it, like say, read this song during from like 1:15 of the read this passage from 1:15 to 1:45 in this song or something like that. It gives you specific instructions on what belongs where. And the whole album was an experience, and they released two sides of it where both albums' song names were exactly the same.
Yeah.
Which I don't think was the greatest decision, because then if you got both albums, it got a little confusing if you downloaded them and were trying to find a song to listen to.
Yeah.
But thinking more of it, that was an awesome... That was an awesome approach that did not carry over digitally, but it was an awesome physical experience.
Yes.
Like it was.
The whole thing, like the stories were two sisters trying to get away from like a certain event that happened to both of them. And one dug a hole in the ground to get away from the surface event. The other one built a tower to the sky. So they went two different directions. Yeah.
Did they get molested?
No, it's like it's a non-descript event. It's kind of like
it's a noodle incident.
It's so almost like listening to two stories that were dreams. Like it's not really. It's not like described story. It's a weird type of storytelling.
Well, it's like music. It's just
of them going through events on their journeys away from this certain point and.
Unfortunately,
it's
the
strange,
albums,
but it's really cool.
The albums were really cool, but they didn't do great because so many people. I mean, I think it was released in, I'm looking at it, 2008.
Yeah.
At that point, having something where it had to be a physical experience, it just didn't hold up all that well just listening to it. It was a good album. They were decent albums. They were really interesting with the story, but they only held up physically.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not in a marketplace for that anymore, unfortunately. You have to be adaptable for both, or at this point, you can just be digital only where you're not focusing really on the album art anymore.
Right.
It exists so popularly that I guess that's kind of the way it's gone. And we're running way over, but... what the heck? How do you feel about piracy? I mean, digital media, now that it's become so attainable without having to leave your house, how do you feel about digital piracy with pertaining to the music industry?
To me, if I download something and I like it, I'll buy it.
Yep.
You know, that's just the way it is.
Also, there's a gigantic allegedly over this whole thing.
Yes, allegedly. If I download it, allegedly. There's just not, to me, not a lot of bands really deserve my money, is the way I see it. And
my money is worth something to me.
It's worth more than whatever little crappy songs that you want to put out. But at the same time, like even before the days of, 2 terabyte hard drives and shit like that, you know, when you couldn't have a whole ton of music on your stuff.
You had to pick and choose.
Yeah, and I would have an actual album and then load it up onto my computer and then it would become digital. And there's albums that I've lost, CDs that I lost that I still have on my computer now that, but, I mean, piracy is... Morally, I guess it's objectionable.
I mean,
if you want to support something and these guys work hard or whatever, you should pay them. But feel free is the way I see it. They make enough money. Yes, some of these guys anyway. Metallica, you know, like fucking
that
Metallica
was,
doesn't
that
need
was
any more money.
Dumb.
You guys are fucking assholes. You know, fuck you. I'm not going to listen to any of your shit now, and I'm going to download the Black Album 8 times just to piss you off.
Allegedly. How about you, Rick?
I don't download any music.
Well, you got bit.
Yeah, I did. I did download some and then got fined.
And you got bit on a piece of crap.
Yeah, it was a crappy album.
I mean, like something. The album that you got bit over was shaken out of some old man's pant leg in a Menards aisle.
Yeah, it was. But like for me, if I really know the band, like Bayside,
mm-hmm.
I didn't check it out. I bought it. I pre-ordered it.
Support the band you like that much.
But if it's a band that I've heard one song from, I'll go on YouTube and listen to the rest of their songs. If I really like their majority of their songs, I'll buy their album. If not, I'll just listen to them in YouTube yeah. more.
Yeah,
like that's it's not illegal. But
if you got one good song, you know, then I'm gonna download that one allegedly. You know,
I'll just listen to it on YouTube,
and you make good albums, then I'll buy your album.
I have the internet on me at all times, so mm-hmm. I don't care. I'll just listen to it on YouTube. I don't need it.
And just for reference, I want to play the song that you got burned on.
Yeah, well, one of the songs.
One
from
of the
album.
From
yeah.
the album. You.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
It's Strokes? Not at all like their other albums.
This is Reliant K.
Yeah, it was shitty as shit.
The album is Collapsible Lung, and you got fined
I feel
for
like,
downloading.
I feel like fining people for downloading it was how they made their money on this shitty album.
I remember talking about that on Soundwave, but it's worth bringing yeah. up again. You got burned downloading, like illegally downloading, allegedly. No, you got caught. you got burned downloading the crappiest album.
Yeah.
Of the albums to have to pay a lot of money for, that's not one of them.
No,
that's not one good. Of them. You know, kind of along the lines of what you both said, I don't necessarily like downloading music illegally. I know that it hurts a lot of like the independent artists. That's not good.
Well, the way I look at it, if it's music that you like and you download their whole album, it's douchey.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like listening to it, pay the people that made it.
Like what you said, Rick, if I knew I was going to like the new Nine Lashes album. So I was perfectly fine buying it, like spending my money on it.
Yeah.
But there are some bands where I didn't know how I felt about, Imagine Dragons. I had heard one song.
So did you allegedly download it?
So, allegedly, downloading the album, finding that I really liked the whole album, I was fine with spending money on it then. I do that all the time, allegedly. where it's like, okay, yeah, I this is actually a great album, so I'll download it. Why not? Or I'll actually buy it. But also what I've done before, I lost a lot of albums that I had bought on CD. They just misplaced the boxes.
Or they
of
get
them.
All scratched up. And
yeah, they're not readable anymore.
Yeah.
One of my favorite albums is Rival Factions by Project 86. It's just this... It's an awesome album. It's one of the ones that I've listened to the most over my music listening career. Is that a career? Sure. But my album, like two of the songs I like the best on there, there was a scratch across apparently right where those songs existed on that physical space because they are impossible to listen to on the album. And if I try downloading the album back onto the computer, it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those instances where I liked the album enough where I would have been okay with buying it again. But since I found it, I was able to download it. It's like, I already own this album. So yeah. I've already supported the band. I don't need to spend more money on the same exact thing. That is an instance where I feel perfectly fine with what piracy is, what's considered piracy.
I'm pretty sure that's what you're supposed to use that for.
Well, actually, it's supposed to be for person-to-person sharing of things that people create. It's just kind of got abused to the point now where it's like just everyone's sharing everything because free! Everything's free!
Yeah.
Free!
I'm pretty sure it's okay to download something that
it's
you
It's still illegal.
Own.
It's still illegal.
Is it?
Yes. If you look, like I heard something about videos. There was with downloading DVDs and such. I heard there was a long running misconception that if you owned the DVD, that you could rip it, like that you could rip it, and like you were allowed to download and like own like a digital copy of it.
Yeah.
That is not a right.
Huh.
You are breaking regulation by downloading a thing that you bought.
Yeah,
which that's not even illegal with CDs.
It's yeah. not illegal with video games either. If you have a physical copy of a video game and you can download it, like the ROMs and stuff like that for like older games.
I think a byproduct of it's the internet blowing up so fast
and the greed that these
and they're just well they're just making have. Laws as they go along.
Yeah. Like, they have no choice.
Well, yeah.
Well, how do you keep up with it?
They're like, how's that work on the internet?
Oh, well,
let's make that illegal. I don't know.
Yeah,
let's make it illegal until we can figure out what it is.
How to handle it.
Exactly. I think that happens a lot with the internet, with it's all just, kinds of stuff.
When it's growing
that fast.
I don't
know if this is legal, so let's make it illegal, and then we'll see what happens.
Plus, who's really regulating it, and are they actually in touch
with
the industry?
Well, no.
With the industry with regard to how fast technology is expanding.
I don't think there's a government agency that regulates all that online shit.
I think it's private, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the MPAA.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Which is a private organization.
Right.
Lord help us if the government tries to step in on that or movies or whatever.
They need to leave it up to the artists, honestly. If the artist says, no, don't download my stuff, you know, take my shit off torrents, or you know, we're gonna come and find you. That's cool.
Yeah.
But System of a Down, when they came out with steal this CD or steal this album, they put it up for download. They were the ones that put it on the torrents themselves.
Yeah. And you've got guys like Nine Inch Nails, who released their album I can't remember which album, but they released a bunch of their music for free or for like a buck. Radiohead did it.
Daft Punk did it too.
Yep, like that's right. Where there's albums. I mean, if you want to buy it after the fact,
please do.
Yeah,
you know, but
great, thank you. But here's our music. What do you think?
They want you to listen to it. They don't care.
And that's doing that thing where we're talking about, like, I don't know if I want to buy the album or not. Listen to it. I like this. I want to own this.
Yeah.
Well, that's the big problem there is I know that there are bands who are like, oh, yeah, we'd love to put our music up for free because we make all our money on merch and shows. Record companies make all their money on those record sales.
And that's the thing.
Why do you think they're called record companies?
Yeah. They're the ones,
music companies.
And all that.
They're the ones who are like, oh, you can't give your music away
because that's how we make our money. Exactly. Why do you think they're called record companies?
They're contractual,
not music companies.
Right.
They're not actually about the music. They're just about the record itself. Sure, go ahead. Put two singles that we can sell a lot of that'll push an album filled with filler tracks because we don't care about the quality of the album. We just want the money from the record sales.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's about a machine. Oh, well. Wow, we are running really long, so I'm going to play some outro music.
Okay.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
That's not it. That's not it.
Not our outro music.
That's not... No.
No, that's not it.
I pressed play, not realizing it was still in Gloria. That sounds more familiar. Well, we want to thank you for listening to this super long episode of Bandwagon. It probably won't be the last time we run over our time by a lot. But, hey, you know, whatever.
Where are we at?
It's over an hour.
Nice. Enjoy that, listeners.
No kidding. If you have any feedback on this episode or any other episode, if you want to complain about it, if you have any ideas, suggestions, other albums to listen to, discussion, topic, ideas, whatever you want to hear about, please let us know at feedback@blindninjastudios.com. You can follow us on Twitter @blind_ninja. You can find us on like us on Facebook, where you can keep up with all of our posts and ramblings on there at Blind Ninja Studios. Yeah, facebook.com/blindninjastudios. And
if you want to talk to me more about the poop thing, you can email me.
Rick@blindninjastudios.com.
RYCK.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Rick. Rick.
I would love to analyze this with somebody. If you guys want to email me and
if you want to talk about the old man pooping
this,
in the,
because I have not done.
Are there any scatologists out there? That discuss this.
Let's get a poo expert.
You should have taken the turd and put it in the Tupperware and brought it home with you.
No, like I want to understand the psychology of it. So if there's any like poop psychologists, let me know. Talk to me.
Someone with a degree in poop psychology needs to help Rick.
We gotta figure this out.
Well, thanks for listening to this episode of Pooping with Rick.
Fecal psychology.